Oh, know him, sorry, know him. Sorry, sorry. Running a little late. Yeah. Thank you. Please ask question. I don't want you to go home and be all so confused, right? Okay, Dad? So when Jesus was on the cross, right, and he said, Father, why you have forsaken me? Then Dad was asking, how can he's on the cross at the same time be in Hades? How can that be, right? Remember, soul is different than the physical body, right? Just like I showed you, my father, even though he was alive in the hospital, and I heard him yelling and screaming, but then time his soul was in Hades. And his soul was in Hades. Even though he was still talking, he was screaming and yelling. Of course, that's also a mystery, right? We don't understand how that works, because when your soul leaves your body, as if you die, right? But in the spiritual realm, your soul can be there and also be inside of you. So the same thing for me, when Satan came and took me to a different dimension, I'm still alive, but my soul was going with Satan at that time. It's hard to explain it, but for me, that's how Jesus sent me to. When he was suffering, his soul went to Hades, but he's still alive. And as he suffered, of course, then he died. Then we do not know how long he's in Hades for. Did that answer your question? Yep. Just get rid of Satan? Can God just get rid of Satan just like that? Yes. So it's not God's purpose to get rid of him. What is God's purpose? For who to get rid of him? For us. Because God did not sin, right? God did not sin. We are the one that sinned. Because we are the one that sinned, we are under Satan's control. But that's why he gives the tool, and that is his blood. So we can overcome sin. Because on the end day, let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans, chapter 12. Or 16, Romans 16. Because God is love, not only love, but also God is just, right? 16:20. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. How would he crush Satan?
Use whose feet? Your feet, my feet. You understand? If your feet is like tofu,
can you crush anything with tofu feet? Tofu, stinky tofu?
You cannot, right? But God is waiting for us to have the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ
strong, right? So he can use that to crush.
So that's why for us, actually, it's not for God to destroy Satan. But he did destroy Satan in a way, in the flesh. So when God destroys Satan in the flesh, then you and I also can destroy Satan through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay? Satan is what? Satan is sin, right? Satan is sin. So God wants us to God has no sin. He doesn't need to destroy Satan. But on the end days, when you and I are strong enough, when the time is fulfilled, then Satan, that's it, is over for him. is all for him. Then God what? Will send him to the lake of fire. And there he will suffer, be tormented. And then some people say, look, you know, I mean, if I'm going to go to eternal life and my family can go to hell, I don't want to go to eternal life, right? Some people say that, right? I'd rather go to Hades or eternal condemnation with my family than go to eternal life by myself. How would you respond to that, right? Yeah, we can talk a little about the Q&A question, okay? So, sister, does that answer your question?
Why God doesn't want to destroy Satan, right? But it's not his purpose to destroy Satan. His purpose is for us to destroy Satan. Because we're the ones that sin. And when we sin, Satan is our father. That's from Adam and Eve, right, from the beginning. Of course, you can talk about, you know, how does Satan exist, all that kind of stuff. That's another hour. Right? You want to talk about that, right?
Okay. All right, anything else pertaining to those things? David, do you understand a little bit more now? Yes. Whatever God sees, he already sees what you have lived in your life already, the choice that you make in your life already. But for us, no, it's still a minute by minute, hour by hour thing, right? But what we choose in life, that will determine who we're going to be in the future, where we're going to be. Okay? Okay. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis. Chapter 22. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about building an altar to the Lord. Genesis 22. Verse 1. Genesis 2, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am, right? Here I am. So when you read this verse, how do you feel about Abraham's relationship with God? How do you feel about his relationship with God? It's very close, right? It's very close. You know, quite often when God, you know, call us, right? Jake, right? Jake? I keep calling you Jack. Jake, you know, Jake, where are you, right? Can you hear God? Yes, can you hear him? Actually, quite often you and I cannot hear him. Why? Because our relationship is not too close. Even myself, right? I cannot hear the voice of God. But you can see here when you build an altar to the Lord, you're very sensitive to his voice. And that's why it's so important. Praying is, we must do it our whole life. Because praying allows us to have great relationship with God. That's why in verse 22, now it came to pass after this thing that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Look at the relationship, it's so close, right? Then look at verse 2. Then it said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Wow. Even though they are so close, and then this close friend asks you, hey, offer your son. Offer your son. And this son, what kind of son was he? What kind of son? What kind of son is he? Huh? Your only son. First, your only son. So can you imagine if Abraham had 12 children, right? God said, oh, offer you one of your sons. And Abraham said, okay, no problem. Right, one of them. Not only that, the son what? Not only your only son, the son what? That you love. The son that you love. What happened if Abraham had 12 sons and he doesn't like a couple of them? It's much easier to offer, right? Oh, you want one? No, I have two that I don't really love. I can sacrifice two of them to you, right? But here, God stressed, right? Actually, Abraham, he prefigured who? Actually, he prefigured God, you understand? And Isaac is our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And here he said what? Offer your only son, the son whom you love. What does this mean? This means quite often when you and I have good relationship with God, when you and I have good relationship with God, we must give God our best. This is what it is. You can see the same thing too with Cain and Abel. Abel gave God his best. Just like here too. Here, God wants Abraham to give God his best. And we're on top, well, we are to the mountain Moriah, right? You know what Moriah means? Moriah, you know what that means? Moriah means bitterness of the Lord. Why do you think that means bitterness of the Lord? Why? Sister, what do you think? Why God want him to, I'm sorry, sister, what is your name? Vivian? Yeah, Vivian, what do you think? Why God tell him to go and sacrifice his son on top of the mountain of Moriah, right? And Moriah means bitterness of the Lord, why? Did your parents ever hit you? Yes, right? When they hit you, you see their faces, or how they feel very happy when they hit you? No. No, they feel very sad, right? Quite often when they hit you, right? Because sometimes, of course, I hit my nephew too, right? I hit my nephew too. But every time I hit him, I'm more in pain than him being in pain, right? And now my wife, she doesn't even hit him anymore because it's too painful for her to hit him, right? And for him, it's not even painful. But to her, it's painful, right? So here, when God asks us to give him our best, to test us, his bitterness of the Lord, he also feels a kind of pain, you understand? So we always have to remember this. But on the end, it's better for us. It's better for us. For example, I love gardening, right? And my pear tree right now, it has so many fruit on it, right? So the branches all like, you know, almost hitting the ground already. So, but the thing is, I have to trim some of the branches. Because even though the branches look very beautiful, if I don't trim all those branches, and then what happened? What happened? Joseph, what do you think? You know anything about gardening? No, you don't. Anybody into gardening here? You, no, none of you are into gardening. Oh, you have to do that. It's very relaxing. Yes. Because the problem is that if you don't, especially the dead branches, right? But there's also some branches that grow across the tree, right? That's not good. You want them to grow out, right? Because when they grow across the tree, and then what? It takes a lot of energy and things like that. So all the nutrition will what? Will go to all those branches that is useless. So you must cut them out. So when you cut them out, so all the nutrition will go to the right direction, right? But it's very painful for me to do that, because especially when I see pear tree on there, like, oh man, I have to cut this branch, right? Why? Because the pear tree is going to be dead. Then I try to eat them because the little one, then it's so bitter, right? Because it's not mature yet, right? But the same thing with us. When God gives us trial and tribulation, it's just like, you know, trimming us, right? It's also for him, it's very painful. Just like for our parents. I don't know any parents who like to hit their kids. If you have your parents who like to hit you, I'm sorry. I feel very sad for you. But most parents do not like it when they punish us, when they hit us. Why? Because it's painful for them. But at the same time, it's good for us, especially for a brother, right? Especially for a brother. For sisters, of course. You know, if I have a daughter, I would never touch her, right? Why? Because for a son, he needs to be a man, right? And sometimes a man, you need the father need to do something, right? Your father ever hit you? Yeah, right? Yeah. A lot of Asian kids get hit by their father. Don't report this to DSS now. You know, come and take you away, right? Yeah. But I know your father loved you very much. Yeah. Yes. For sure, right? And then what? He has to hit you. Why? Because sometimes you're being naughty, right? Even though Kevin is a very good boy, right? But I'm sure sometimes he's being naughty too, right? Right? That's why his father, Soma, he's a really nice guy. And I'm sure that I know that he loves Kevin very much, right? But sometimes it hit him, right? So the same thing here. When God wants to test us in a sense that how much we love him, we must give him our best. We must give him our best. And what? Go to the mountain of Moriah. Marai means bitterness of the Lord. This means God is also bitter, right? Remember, when Joseph go through all the trial and tribulation, right? Joseph, right? What was God doing? The God of Joseph, he lives where? The Bible says he lives where? You guys know that? He lived in the thorn bushes. This means when Joseph go through all trial and tribulation, actually God also feel the pain, you understand? Feel the pain for Joseph also. But that's a training. But that's a training that he had to go through. Okay? It's the same thing for us. So that's why here. So quite often when you and I have good relationship with God, when we build an altar to the Lord, when we pray to him, he will require more of us. More of us. Because if we don't have relationship with him, then there's no need. Does anybody ever hit you beside your father? You have to think about it? It's Kenneth. Oh, but he probably hit you because you did something to him, right? Because he's like your servant. Right? That's why you said he's your servant, right? Yeah, he's joking around, yeah. But I'm sure Kenneth, his younger brother, right, hit him. Not because what? Not, you know. But does anybody else hit you beside your parents? Joseph, can you imagine you do something wrong and just go and smack you? No, it won't happen, right? Why? Because actually I don't care enough for him to do that. You understand? I don't love you enough to do that, right? Because that's why when parents do the things, because they love you, they care for you, that's why they do it. Because there's no strangers when you do something wrong. Actually, in Hawaii, maybe it's a little different. Hawaii has a different culture. If the kids do something wrong, all the aunt and uncle beat them up too. Right? And then you go and tell your parents, or oh, aunt and uncle beat me up, and then the parents beat you up even more, right? Right? That's what in Hawaii culture is like this, right? Because even if you're not related, because everybody call each other aunt and uncle, right? So if you go to Hawaii next time, like for example, when I didn't get my golf ID yet in Hawaii, right? Of course you have to pay like the tourist price, and it's like double and triple, right? So sometimes, because I look Hawaiian too, right? I just go and say, hey, auntie, this and that, and she just think I'm local. I'm like, you know, if she doesn't ask for the card, it's fine. I'm not cheating, right? If she asked, I would show it to her, right? But she doesn't ask. Why? Because she thinks I'm from the area, because I call her auntie. So that's a trick, right? You go places. Right? Auntie and uncle and this and that, right? That's all you always call. And then they treat you so much, much nicer, right? That's why when you fly in Hawaii Airlines, okay, forget. Yeah. So nobody else hits you except for your parents, because they love you, right? So that's why don't think when you do something wrong and God doesn't chastise you, they mean, oh, God must love me very much, right? No. When you get to the point when you sin against God, especially great sin, and God doesn't do anything, this means actually God sometimes give you up already. We just say that God give you up to your base mind, right? To your sin. We just say that. Where does it say that? Okay. Let's keep your bookmark on here, 22. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 24. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Romans 1:24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their body among themselves. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. So here, right, God gave them up to what? To their sin. So that's why when you and I sin against God and we feel very guilty, this means actually God still loves us. I mean, God always gonna love us. But when we continue to sin, to do the same thing over and over again, and we don't feel anything, this means we grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, this means we're not willing to listen to God. No, for example, right, when my nieces and nephew, when they do something wrong, you know how I punish them? What do you think? When they do something wrong, I usually punish them. What do you think I do when I punish them? What do I do? Huh? What's that? Okay, I ground them. Okay, so sometimes I do. But though, yes? Yes. I tell them you cannot talk to uncle. Because uncle is so cool, right? And they always want to talk to uncle, right? And this is a very strange way, you understand? For most of you, if your parents say, don't talk to me, then you're like, oh, good, thank you, right? No, because my niece and I, we have a great relationship, you understand? We do everything together, right? Because everything we do, because I make it fun, right? Even I go to the hospital, right, when the doctor was cracking my nephew's arm, right? I'm just behind the doctor, like that, right? And then I say, the doctor is crazy, right? And then my nephew look at me, he's all laughing, right? If not, he'd be all crying, right? Because the doctor was crazy, cracking his arm, right? So because of this, I tell him, look, okay, when you do something wrong, you cannot talk to uncle for a day. You know how much suffering is that for them? You understand? Well, because when they cannot talk to me, they cannot ask me, oh, uncle, can you make me this food to eat? Can you do this for me? Can you drive me here? Can you drive me there? Right? They cannot, right? They cannot talk to me, right? So they always wait until they can talk to me again, right? So the same thing. When you and I do something, right, when we pray, God does not hear prayer. Why? Because heaven, eternal life, is the presence of the Lord. You can see when Peter, right, saw our Lord Jesus Christ glorified in front of him, that was the greatest reward. So for us, do not think that when we do not like to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ and we do not like to read the Word of God, that, you know, that we have a good relationship with God. No. Earlier, right, a lot of you, we start the class early, right? Why? Because we want to study God's Word. It's interesting, right? It's exciting. That's the way it should be, right? For me, the same thing too, right? Even I sleep, I think about God's Word. And sometimes even I don't want to think about it, I still think about it, right? So when I go to sleep, sermons going through my head, right? Sermons and the Word of God going through my head. I'm thinking, sometimes I can't sleep. And often, like, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I put my headphones on, I put the Bible on, right? And listen, right? And listen, listen. And then even sometimes I don't put the headphone on, I still hear voices. I mean, not like voice in that sense, like my mind keep thinking about the Bible, reading the Bible, right? Because I'm addicted to the Bible. And I hope you're addicted to the Bible too, right? You can see how wonderful it is, right? When we study God's Word together, right? Because Bible study should never be boring. You guys should be so excited, right? Talking about Trinity, right? Talking about one true God, right? Talking about heaven and hell. All this stuff is so exciting. Why? Because it's all in the Bible. So really, have that kind of excitement, right? But quite often we come to church and it's dragging our feet. Oh, I can't believe going to church again. Oh, look at the minister. He's speaking 5 minutes over time already. Quit already. Even sometimes some members hold a sign back there. You're over time already, right? Really? But for us, you can see, when we study God's Word, when the Spirit moves us, you do not want to leave. Really, you just want to stay and study more and more to understand more. Why? Because if you want to know, one day, right, some of you will meet a sister you'll fall in love, right? And you want to know everything about her, I'm telling you. You want to know everything, right? And how, if you don't love her, of course, you're not going to want to know, right? If you don't love that person, why you want to know what kind of favorite food they eat? What kind of perfume they put on, right? Things like that, right? That is only love, really. When I first fell in love with my wife, really, and she wears a certain kind of perfume, and sometimes I walk on the street, I smell a perfume. Some other woman wears, like, oh, I think about my wife, right? Because that is the perfume she usually wears. But the perfume will give me migraines. I tell her, don't wear anymore. So any kind of perfume cologne give me migraine, right? So she wears perfume, right? But what I'm saying that when you're in love, I tell you, you want to know everything about that person, right? The same thing for sisters, right? But sisters naturally have this tendency to want to know more, right? Want to know more. But for brothers, sometimes we're just like, you know, whatever, right? So that's why after you are married and stuff like that, quite often, brother, you will lose that love and feeling. When you get married, right, you don't appreciate your wife anymore and stuff like that, right? And that's the time that you lose your first love, right? Just our relationship with God, the same thing too. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how old we are. We always can have that kind of zeal, right? That kind of yearning for our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is love. Same thing, I've been with my wife for 20 years. And even now, I'm pitching myself go, you know, when I go back to Dallas, right? I picture myself Thursday night, 8:55, right? I will arrive to Dallas. And then when I get out of the terminal, my wife gonna be waiting for me right there. And she's gonna walk out of the door, right? And just give me a hug, right? 20 years later, I still, you know, see it clearly, you understand? Why? Because why? Because I'm looking forward to see her, right? Just to say hi, just to say hi. And sometimes we call each other, leave on voicemail, we sing to each other sometimes, right? Right? I just call to say what? I love you, right? Things like that, right? But you guys maybe it's too young, right? But the thing is what I'm saying that when you're in love with a person, when you're in love with God, really your desire can never be gone. Can never be gone. You're always gonna be there, right? So that's why here, right? What we're saying in Romans, God would give us up when we sin against God. You know what it's like when we sin against God? In the spirit, when we sin against God, it's just like we wipe ourselves with doo-doo. And then we go and say hi to God. You think God would like that? This one time, Pacifica Church, right, and one of the homeless person came, and I was giving a sermon, and that day I was talking about love, too. You know, I talk about love, this and that. So the homeless came and sit down, and then everybody who sat around him just dispersed. I'm like, wow. I'm talking about love, right? I'm talking about love. Then later on, I'm like, why all the brothers and sisters just left that homeless person? Why? Because he smelled so bad. He smelled it, the aroma, the whole church is smell. I'm talking about really, really bad. He has like 12 layers of clothing on. So what is the solution? Do we tell him stop coming to church? Huh? What should we do? What's that? Yes, you ask him, right? So we went out, got him new outfit, right? And new shoes, right? We tell him, we really want you to continue to worship with us, right? But the problem is you smell so bad. You distract other people from worshiping God, right? And then please, you have to take a shower. Because in Pacifica, we have a shower there, right? Let's take a shower before you come to service. Of course, he say yeah, yeah, yeah. I say yeah, yeah, yeah. But he never takes showers. Why? Because he's not used to taking showers, right? But the thing is, what I'm saying that there's no way, right? Anybody who smells like doo-doo, you can sit right next to them. Can you do that? No, right? No. But spiritually speaking, right? Many of our friends full of doo-doo. We still sit next to them. Why? We get used to it. That's why. I remember when I was in Africa with Pastor Cole, right? Then during the time we were waiting for our brother and sister in this field. Oh, this field, the whole field smells like doo-doo. It's really bad, right? Because in Africa, everybody go to the bathroom everywhere. Right? There's really no toilet. Just go everywhere. So that field was full of doo-doo. So during the time, I was like closing my mouth, had my handkerchief on me, and Pastor Cole, what? He was eating peanuts. I'm like, how can you eat? I said, can you smell the doo-doo? He's like, yeah, well, it's okay. You know, he's eating, right? There's no way I can eat. 3 weeks later, we went to the same place. I was eating peanuts too. Why? Because I'm so used to smelling doo-doo, you understand? But for God, he never gets used to smelling doo-doo, you understand? So that's why for us, even though our friends, sometimes they commit sin, they do something bad, this and that, right? We hang out with them. I'm not saying that you cannot be friend with them. You can be friend. But of course, try to bring them to church and things like that, right? But the things that they do is sinning against God. We must stay away from it, right? Because God, he's an almighty God. He what? He is holy. Holy, right? So I would even a little doo-doo, he would not like it. So the same thing for us. So every time we sin against God, we're like wiping doo-doo all over ourselves and go and say hi to God. That's what we're doing, right? I think none of us will willing to sit with anybody, right, more than a couple of minutes if they smell so bad. Really? I mean, of course, one day you become parents when you change the kids' diapers and stuff like that, right? For me, I'll throw up. I can't change diapers. Yeah. But God would give us up, right? God would give us up. But if God loves us, and then God will chastise us. Where does it say that? If God loves us, he will chastise us. Where does it say that? What book? Proverbs. What's it say? What Proverbs chapter what? Proverbs chapter what? But the one I'm thinking about, of course, is in Proverbs. See, we're thinking about is one in Hebrews, right? Hebrews. Anybody know what chapter it is in Hebrews? Yes, chapter 12 is what? Huh? 7 and 8. Chapter 12. Start from verse 5, right? Verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Verse 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all who become partaker, you are illegitimate, and not sons, right? So here we're saying that actually, for us, we are children of God. We are his sons. So when we do something wrong, God will chastise us. But the minute he does not chastise us, then it's no longer we are his children. As simple as that. So don't think, right, that, oh, your life, you sin against God, but nothing happened to me, right? Or you see brothers and sisters who do something that is sinning against God and nothing happened to them. But don't think that is a good thing. That is a very bad thing. It's a very bad thing. Because when God loves us, anything that we do wrong, God will chastise us. Why? Because to take us back to the right track. I remember one sister, she loved to watch anime. Right, Japanese anime. And she prayed to God, God, please, I really want to stop watching. So then for a couple of days, she stopped watching it. Of course, this anime, I'm sure some anime is okay, but the one she's watching is not good, right? It's not good for her. So then she watched again. And then she kneeled down and prayed, God, please, I don't want to watch again. I'm sorry, but I don't want to watch again. Then she watched again. Then the next day she woke up, one of her eyes, swollen, right? Swollen. Then she could not see out of one of her eyes. Then of course, guess what she did? She watched again. Then this time her eyes got even worse, so she went to the doctor. And then her eyes started bleeding. And the doctor said, I have no idea. I never see this kind of eye infection before. We have no idea what it is. So the doctor gave her some kind of ointment stuff to put in her eyes, and the eyes got even worse. And then what she do? And she realized, oh, I cannot watch those anime anymore, right? I cannot watch it. So she repent. As she repent, the swelling became, the bleeding stopped. The swelling became smaller and smaller. And then God healed her. That is God's love, right? So a lot of us, we do something, or watch something is bad, and God doesn't do anything to us. This means it's something wrong, right? It's something wrong. Okay? Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis. Chapter 22. Genesis 22. So what does it mean among Moriah? What does it mean, Moriah? What's that? Yes, the bitterness of the Lord, right? The bitterness of God. God always feels very bitter when he chastises us. And this mountain, how many days I walked in this mountain? How many days? How many days? How many days journey? 3 days. Why do you think God chose such a mountain, right? 3 days away. Why not the one that's right next to him? Why 3 days away? What do you think?
Buy
this can't be gone, right? Of course, they want you to do it with impulse, right? This means you do it quickly, then you realize, oh man, I shouldn't have done it. Right? I didn't need that kind of stuff, right? That's why so many people now, if you go to their house, all those exercise equipment stuff is never used. It's in their closet. Right? Why? Because they just buy it, right? The impulse. So the same thing for us. When we do something for God, God always gives us time to think about it, right? Do we really sincerely want to do what is right? So that's why, can you imagine Abraham walking for 3 days, right? He must have thought, what should I do it or what? What do you think? For me, he never have doubt. Why? Because he's the father of faith, right? And then look at verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, right? This is very strange, right? Rose early in the morning to go where? To play golf? I know plenty of brothers, right? They always play for Sabbath, but playing golf, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go play golf, right? Here, Abraham rose early in the morning to do what? To sacrifice his son. This is very strange, right? But actually, we must look at it the other way. Abraham rose early, what? To do the will of God. Even though he had to give up his son. Did he know that his son's going to die? What do you think? What was going through his mind? Did he know that was God serious about him killing his son? I mean, for him to think. What do you guys think? Did he think that he's going to kill his son? Huh? Yes. And how do we know that? How do we know? How do we know that for him, he's going to go and kill his son? There's no doubt about that. How do we know? But even before he gets there, how did he know he's going to kill his son? Son, right? Knowing that even killing his son, God will resurrect him again. So in other words, in his mind, he's going to kill him. Do you understand? In Hebrews chapter 11, right? We don't need to go there. Hebrews chapter 11, okay? So he rose early in the morning. Then what? He saddled his donkey, right? And took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to a place of which God had told him. Quite often we can arise early, right? For example, Jonah, he also arose, right? And where did he go? Where did Jonah go? Remember, he rose early too, right? He rise up, where did he go? Yeah, the opposite of where God wanted to go, right? Yeah, completely the opposite, right? So quite often, for us, when we don't build an altar inside our heart, when we don't pray to God often enough, God will also want to tell us to do certain things. But the problem is that we always do the opposite. Why? Because we cannot hear his voice. So here, he took the wood. I mean, why did he have to split the wood by himself or saddle the donkey? Why can't he let his servant do that? Why can't he ask his servant to do all those things? Why not? Okay, look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Look at that, right? He said, we will come back to you. This is great faith. This is great faith. Because for him, he thought he's going to kill his son, then God will resurrect him. Why? Because God said what? In your seed, in the seed of Isaac, I will give you many nations. And he believed this. And he believed it. And then, look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son, his Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and knife, and the two of them went together. So here, when we want to be obedient to God, right, we can see In verse 6, in verse 6, it concluded that the two of them went together, right? When, what other verse say the two of them went together? Yes. Right? So verse 6 and verse 8.
So verse 6 and verse 8. This is a frame, right? A frame of a beautiful picture. But walking together is a frame, right? And within this frame, there's a beautiful picture within it.
And what's that beautiful picture? Then we must read it, right? Between verse 6 and verse 8. First, so Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. So why didn't Abraham choose his servant to take the wood? Why ask Isaac why to take the wood? Why? Why do you think that is? Huh? Why?
He has many servants, right? Why did he put the wood and put on the shoulders or the back of his son Isaac? Why? Why?
Why? Just take a guess. Why you think that is? They walk together to do what? What are they doing walking together? To do what? To do what?
Okay, to build an altar, make an offering, yes. But indirectly, to do what? What are they doing? What are they trying to accomplish? Yes, to sacrifice, what's that?
To do.
Okay? Please God.
So that's why this picture is going to be so beautiful. Why? Because, look, you know, doing God's will and to please God is a family thing.
Even though Abraham sent many servants, but no, he did not allow his servants to bring the wood, but rather he involved his son, right, to fulfill this purpose.
Remember, actually, Isaac played a really big part in this.
Without Isaac,
what happened to the promise from God? It would not exist. So in other words, actually,
you guys are Isaac, and your parents are Abraham. So your parents cannot do anything according to God's will without you guys. And you guys cannot do anything
without your parents, without the old generation. So that's why it's so important.
We must what? Walk together, right? The younger generation, older generation, to fulfill the purpose of God, to paint this beautiful picture for God.
Did Isaac know anything about what his father was going to do?
Did he know anything? What his father was going to do? He asked, right? And what did he ask?
Verse 7, right? But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." You see, right? When God called Abraham, and Abraham said what? How did Abraham answer God? "Here I am," right? So now his son calls him, say, "Here I am." So, I mean, his relationship is also very close, right, to one another. And Isaac asked him, "What? My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for burnt offering?" So what does this mean about Isaac? Your son asked you this. What does that mean about your son?
What's that?
Observant, yes, it's true. Yes, he's really observant. But what does it say about his spirituality? What does...
He's loyal.
What's that?
He's loyal.
Okay, he's loyal, okay.
Yeah, that's later on, right? He has faith in his father.
But actually, he knows what it's like to sacrifice, you understand?
Sacrifice, what does it mean nowadays?
Prayer. You understand? So at a young age, he knows what it's like to pray.
You cannot pray, you cannot sacrifice without the lamb, without the wood, without the fire. He knows,
even at a young age. So that's why for all of you, don't just depend on your parents, right?
To build your altar, to build your faith, you must do it yourself. Just like here, Isaac, he knows what you need to have to sacrifice.
So that's why he asked his father. Then his father said what? Verse 8, and Abraham said to him, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering." So the two of them went together.
So here, if Isaac asked him, then the father said, "Look, the Lord will provide for himself." So what did Isaac say?
With the older generation.
Of course, it's good to ask questions. But when they tell us certain things, we must have faith that they know what they do, because
Isaac has no idea he's the lamb, you understand?
He has no idea. He has no idea he's the lamb.
If he knew, maybe he would have run away that time already, right? "I'll talk to you later, Dad," right? And the dad is already 100 years old. I don't think he's going to catch Isaac, right? He's too old already, right? But actually, Isaac, what makes this picture so beautiful?
Because they always walk together. In what? In pleasing God, in doing the will of God, and doing the sacrifice, right? So please, really, when you go back home, if your parents don't pray, you must be the one that insists in praying. If you ask your parents to pray, I don't think they'll say no. You know why they won't say no? Why do you think they won't say no? What's that? They know it's the right thing to do. They would be embarrassed. Like, "Oh, no, you go ahead and pray. We're not going to pray with you." No. Every parent would love you guys to say, "Let's go and pray, Mom and Dad," right? Let's go, right? Just like my offer when my wife asked me,
"Let's pray," right? What I tell her? "Oh, no, you pray by yourself. I'm a pastor," right? You understand? Anyone who asks me to pray, I pray. You know, that time maybe I'm not in the mood to pray, right? Because for me, praying, I need a lot of meditation, right? I need to think. Right? So, but my wife, she's just the opposite. Quite often, like, you know, like in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning when we live in San Jose, it's like, she wake me up, right? "Oh, let's fly up to the mountain." I'm like, "What? It's 1 o'clock in the morning." But that's the way she is, right? So I just half asleep, drive up the mountain, right? And then what? We go look at the stars in the mountain, right? For me, I'm like, "Oh, I want to be in bed already," you know? I was so comfortable, right? But I had to do that, right, to please her, right? So the same thing, because we all have different personality, right? For me, when, you know, before I pray, I must meditate, I must think, I must prepare myself, right? But my wife just do things very quickly, right? She want to do this, okay, let's do it. Want to do that, just do it, right? But sometimes doing that is also very good, right? And one time, there's a shooting stars, whatever, right? Shooting stars. And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like, and she got the whole family to go, right? Drive the mountain. And then it's like, oh man, what a pain. Why my wife have to be like this, right? Then at the time, and not all the other, my nieces, my nephew, and then we have a friend from Hawaii too. She's like, they just thinking, why do you want to get up so early in the morning? So we went there, right? And of course, we saw some awesome shooting stars right in front of us. And everybody say thank to my wife. Well, thank you for forcing us to come out, right? Right? So think it works out, right? Things like that, right? So now for us, you know, we always do things very differently. But the thing is, have faith in one another because we all TJC members. Really, for me, even though, you know, I'm Cambodian, right? And quite often, you know, Taiwanese culture is very different, right? And for me, even though I'm Cambodian, but I'm not Cambodian, right? I'm a banana, right? Because my wife always says I'm all yellow on the outside and white on the inside, right? Because I was adopted by white parents for many years, right? So the way I think this and that, right? But you know, the most fun I have is to hang out with all the pastors. Oh, they're funny, you know, really. Pastor Niang, Pastor Ye, they're funny, you know? Hang out with them, talk with them, stuff like that, right? Even though we've come from different world, right? And that's why for me, sometimes in meetings, stuff like that, they forget that I'm on the phone with them, on Skype with them, then they start speaking Chinese. I don't get upset. I laugh about it, right? What's the big deal? It's no big deal, right? Because they try their, you know, sometimes they forget about me, and who am I? For them to forget about me, it's okay. It's not a big deal, right? So things like that. So don't take things so personal, because we all brothers and sisters, right? We all brothers and sisters. So that's why for us, walking together so important, trusting one another and understand what is God's will. Right? What is God's will for you and I? That's what we must seek. And the will, sometimes what? You must what? Sacrifice, right? Give your best to God. And that is our goal, because Abraham has his own duty to do. And then Isaac, the same thing too. Remember Isaac. Don't neglect Isaac. Isaac plays such a big, important part in here. Even though all he said the whole time, where's the lamb, right? You see the wood? Isn't that, right? Let's kneel down and pray together, conclude our class.